This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, according to a recent study by the FBI, the number of incidents in which a shooter opens fire on a crowd of people more than doubled over the past 7 years, with the most recent tragedy happening in Charleston, South Carolina, where a gunman opened fire, killing 9 church members who had gathered for a Bible study and prayer at one of the nation's oldest black churches. Such events have brought to light the real risk and absolute horror of what law enforcement and EMS responders must be prepared to face. So how can emergency medical response teams be ready for this, and how can the medical teams be trained to respond to save as many lives as possible? Well, here with some answers is Dr. Christian Knudsen. He's Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Linda.
So let's begin by defining what we mean when we use the term active shooter. What does that mean?
Active shooter is any time someone with a weapon goes into a crowd or a place with lots of people with the intent to hurt or to kill as many people as possible. We usually think of it as being a gun or a rifle, but it can even be knives. There's a case in China a couple of years ago. In a subway, with the gentleman with knife hurt 30 to 40 people. So anytime someone with a weapon goes into a crowd to hurt someone.
And it's kind of random killing. It's not even always a pattern to it. It's just random outburst of some kind.
Right. They shoot for most attention, most number of people hurt effect, not always just a target of one person.
So what protocols currently are in place to help avert the loss of life? I mean, what are first responders trained to do to stop the killing?
Traditionally, police and EMS used to stay back. In Columbine, years ago, the police and the EMS would stay back and kind of prepare themselves and then enter a school or a building to take out an active shooter. Obviously, in Columbine, that 30 to 40 minute delay they had of kind of getting their teams ready to go in cost lives and cost time. Police have changed their tactics where now they are trained to go in and confront somebody. So instead of waiting, as soon as they get on scene and they know there's a bad guy inside, they don't wait. Either one or two police officers will enter a building with the goal of confronting and either distracting or killing the bad guy.
And similarly, EMS have changed the way they handle it as well. Yeah. What is this idea of tactical EMS? What is that?
That's the more traditional role of EMS with police officers. If you take a paramedic or an EMT and integrate them into a SWAT team, they provide medical support for the SWAT team. So they can take care of the SWAT members if they get hurt. Lacerations, sports injuries, and also they can take care of suspects and bystanders on the scene with the team when they go into a high-risk situation.
But the idea was it's changed, though, hasn't it? Because
right.
At one time, I understood that, you know, the ambulances, the paramedics, all of those people would stage nearby mm-hmm. and wait for a safe moment to come in and to try to help people.
Right.
But that's begun to change.
Right.
How?
Because police officers are now going into the scene quickly. They're realizing there are people who are hurt, especially in large buildings. Virginia Tech, for instance, was a Norris Hall. They had multiple rooms, multiple hallways.
That was Virginia Tech, yes, at that university, right.
And while they actually had tactical EMS, they were right on scene, and they got into multiple rooms and saved lives because they could treat bleeding arms or legs, treat chest wounds, and they saved several lives with their rapid treatment. But because now police are going in so fast, we're trying to get paramedics and EMTs to also enter the scene under escort by police, but to help save lives quickly.
So now EMS are moving in, or these types of first responders are moving into an unsecure area, is what you're saying.
Less secure.
Less secure.
I think traditionally EMS would sit back and wait for the scene, as we say, scene safe. Make sure police were on scene, make sure the shooter was secure. They're still under escort, and they're going into areas which have been cleared by police, so it is safer, but it's more risk than they were traditionally trained to accept.
So what are they doing when they do that? I mean, and why would police want EMS in there, kind of in their way, potentially?
Or, mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the real benefit there?
Law enforcement's job is to stop the shooter. But also they recognize while they're moving forward, there are people who are hurt. And while police can do some basic interventions, it's good to have people trained in medical care, trauma care, right, to come in and treat those victims as quickly as possible.
So there are what they call, and I think you identified for me prior to our talking, there are three types of injuries. There are ones that are not survivable, so mm-hmm. someone is going to die regardless. Someone survivable without care.
Yes.
And those that really need immediate care.
Yes.
So it's a triage that's going on immediately also that an EMS person could help with.
Yes.
And then what type of care is offered if they're survivable with care? What are the kinds of injuries that you take care of and how?
The three main injuries are airway problems, problems breathing, injuries to the neck, open wounds to the chest, where you have a collapsed lung, which can compromise blood flow to the heart. Or most common, you have bleeding wounds to the arms and legs. And those can be treated either with tourniquets, which are now widely available in the past 5 or 10 years, or hemostatic agents, things you can put onto the wounds and apply pressure, and they help stop bleeding.
So it's crucial, in a way, for these EMS responders to really be involved, kind of integrated into these SWAT teams and be part and parcel of the whole process.
Not just the SWAT teams, but with law enforcement in general. So you have not just tactical teams going into these situations, but you have your street cops, your regular officers going in. So not only are you having tactical medics trained, but you're having basic ambulance crews, regular ambulance crews, being trained at many large cities to also go into these situations.
Wow.
So it's not just training the SWAT team, but the entire police and the entire EMS system as well.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with emergency medicine physician Dr. Christian Knutson, and we're talking about active shooter situations and how the training has changed for both emergency medical personnel as well as for the law enforcement side of it. So tell us a little bit more about what, you know, the change in police tactics and how this change is really changing EMS. For example, there's something called a rescue task force now, mm-hmm. an RTF. What is that?
That's a task force is a group of people from different agencies. So the idea of the rescue task force is when the police first go into an active shooter situation, and then another police officer and an ambulance arrives on scene, the combination of the police officer and the EMT or the paramedic is kind of considered the rescue task force. The first officers in are called the contact team because they're pushing forward trying to get the bad guy. The next group, the combination of police and EMS, would be considered the rescue task force. And that's where the new training needs to come in to train law enforcement and train EMS to work together, to get used to each other, and to know how each other work. And cooperate together to go forward and take care of patients.
So that's a challenge. In a way, what I'm hearing is that both groups are kind of meeting in the middle.
Yeah.
Where police were not doing any kind of medical help, and EMT were not doing any kind of stop the shooter concept, now both are having to be ready to do a little of both.
Right. The officers always will stop the shooter, but the
right.
EMS now needs to start deciding if they're going to accept the risk of moving forward, and police need to know how to protect the EMS because EMS traditionally does not have body armor or helmets or weapons to protect themselves. So they need the police to provide an escort to keep them safe because these situations are always fluid and always changing
rapidly.
You have to be careful and be ready for whatever happens. So that task force is crucial.
So how is an EMS person trained then differently to become part of one of these task forces?
There are, across the country, there are multiple different ways this is happening. In New York, the Department of Homeland Security now has a new rescue task force training course in Buffalo, which is new, I think, in the past year. We may try to bring that to Syracuse to help treat local EMS. Locally, Upstate's Physician Response Team and Syracuse Police are working together with Rural Metro to bring these training days together. We've had one so far where we've had Rural Metro's supervisors and Syracuse Police's SWAT team and officers do one day of training to kind of get used to how they work together. More are planned. They haven't happened yet. But those days, just seeing each other and working together, are crucial to to working together in the future.
Right. So basically, they each have to understand what the priorities are of each group.
Yes.
In other words, police have to understand what the EMS's priorities are in that situation. Obviously, safety, but right. then what kind of cover they need. And similarly, the EMS people have to understand what are the priorities of the police and not necessarily to get in their way and
yes.
what have you.
Communication and trust are crucial. So they know what each other's doing. And when an officer says, do something, you do it. Or when EMS says, we need to do this, they know what each other's doing. So that interaction, that trust is important for the future.
Are police themselves or law enforcement, are they being trained in doing some medical intervention in
yes.
certain circumstances, and especially if one of their own number perhaps is injured?
Yeah, with the importance of tourniquets and bleeding agents to stop bleeding arms and legs, most police officers are given trauma kits where they have the tourniquet or they have a hemostatic agent and they're trained how to use it either from inside training or training provided by EMS agencies. So that if they go into a situation, they can treat themselves if they're hurt, or if the shooter is stopped, they can turn around and start taking care of injured patients as well.
So they have to also understand triage concepts
and
things of that nature. I mean, what has to be done first, and who yep. are the people who could be saved versus
recognizing sick or not sick, and who needs their care first.
So there's really a lot to be gained, it sounds to me, from both groups working together
yes.
and learning each other's needs and others' priorities and also other skill sets.
It's a big change in how they work. They used to have different silos and working in those silos, but now things are getting mixed up and they're working much more closely together than they were before.
It strikes me that those kinds of skill sets, though, could be carried beyond a circumstance of just an active shooter. It could be almost any catastrophe that
right.
were to happen where there's a need for law enforcement and first responders.
Right. Rampage shooters are shooters not just who are trying to go across a large amount of area and hurt people, kind of like the Washington, D.C. shipyards. So there are barricaded situations. It's good to have EMS and police know how to work for multiple situations.
And you feel at this point we're in the early stages locally, but this is happening and we plan to go forward. But on a national level, this really is taking place.
I think it's taking place mostly in large cities, Philadelphia, D.C., New York City, West Coast, main cities. And it's kind of spreading from there to Syracuse, Rochester, Albany. And then from there, I'd have to move to the smaller agencies and more the suburbs. But I think over the next 5-10 years, this will be increasingly common to get this kind of training, especially as we get it set up and us, the physicians and EMS and law enforcement, get used to the training. We'll get it better and make it more common and make it more available to everybody.
I think it really is a tremendous added benefit to the public to know that we have that kind of training going on and the fact that we have that kind of a team approach to any kind of situation like that, because it's awfully frightening and things are happening so rapidly.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in and sharing that information with us. It's hopeful information. My guest has been Dr. Christian Knudsen. He's Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University. And I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.